Hello and welcome back to the Artie Friends podcast. This is Allison.
This is Kara.
Happy 2025, everyone. Thanks for hanging out with us today. We know you have a lot of other New Year's podcasts that you could listen to, so thanks for choosing ours.
We're so excited to be back. Like we had mentioned in the past couple episodes, we took off for the holidays. It was so nice. We're feeling very rested, very rejuvenated. So we're very excited to be back and giving you guys some amazing episodes going into the new year.
Yes. And we know New Year's energy can carry a lot of excitement about the future. But as we have said for the past couple of years, when we do these reflecting or looking back on the previous year, how important that aspect is before setting goals moving forward is to look at what you did in 2024. And even when I was preparing for this episode and reflecting on my 2024, I was watching YouTube videos of other podcasts, and all the greats and the gurus all seem to say the same thing. So it's not like this is an original idea. Like Mel Robbins has her storyboard thing that she does. Has this name Tom Bailu? He also has like a roadmap of the year that he looks back on. And I really think that can help you see where maybe you fell short or didn't follow through on last year's goals and how important it is to acknowledge that. Otherwise, if you just set new goals, how are you going to know if you can achieve them if you don't make any adjustments or if that's even something you wanted to do? So we are going to swallow our pride and tell you where we fell short in 2024 and maybe a little bit of 2023, because I don't think we've really done that.
Yeah. And then we're kind of dive into failure, falling short, what that really means, and just can kind of do a whole conversation on that, which I agree. I don't think we've done before. And it's a necessary part of life. I don't think you can go through life without failing at literally any element. And if you are going through life without failing, I don't think you're living life right. I think you do need to fail forward and kind of fail upwards towards your goals. So I'm excited to kind of dive into that. But first, as always, we'll quickly catch up. We both agreed we don't really have much to say because the last couple weeks have been Christmas and New Year's. But any standout stories, any fun memories that you want to share from the holidays?
So for the month of December, the first week I was in Tulum. The second week I went back to Omaha to get some work done because at the shop, you know, Christmas season is like part of our busiest time of the year. And then I needed to go to South Dakota for a week for a work trip. I went to Phoenix for the week with my dad, his wife, her kids, and my sister for Christmas. Went back to Omaha for 2 days to get my luggage and finish clearing out my storage unit because that was a goal for all of 2024. Was to finish clearing out my storage unit. And I got it done on December 30th. I was like, wow. We really waited until the very last minute. And I did not want to go back to Omaha. Like it took everything in me. I'm like, I could just fly from Phoenix back to Tulum. I'm already south. Let's just go back to Tulum. Let's go back to the sun. I do not want to go to Omaha in cold weather. Like that just sounds terrible. And I did it because I was like, that is something I said I was going to do. Now let me asterisk this by saying I moved a lot of it into a different storage unit, but I downsized from a like 10 by 10 storage unit to maybe like a 4x4, just like closet that's at 1404. Now it's more stuff that can be utilized at the shop or there's like purpose to the storage. And I have to tell you guys this. I let a quote friend borrow some of my furniture. He needed to rent out his spare bedroom. He was like, I'm either going to Airbnb it or find like a sublease roommate, but I should probably furnish it. This was back like in July when I was moving out. Now, let me remind you, I have a storage unit. So I didn't need this person to store my extra stuff. And he was like, yeah, that'd be super helpful if you could like leave a bed here, bookshelf, my full leather couch, nightstands, this cool fan, my vintage like handmade quilt, sheets, pillows, like the whole thing. I added it up, like thousands of dollars of stuff. So I messaged this guy like mid-December saying like, hey, my mom wants to use that quilt on her bed. Like, could I have it back? Blah, blah, blah. Just like touching base. He goes, yeah, Allison, I moved to LA and donated all of it. I was like, excuse me? And he's like, well, you never messaged me. And I was like, what do you mean I never messaged you? Like, I didn't know I had to like check in every week to make sure you didn't just like donate my stuff. Like there was never, like if we look back in the messages, I can provide receipts like 5 times. I said like, hey, did you get a roommate? Didn't reply. And hey, I have those rattan tables on Facebook Marketplace, by the way, like just a heads up, like if someone buys them, like I was kind of trying to help him out temporarily until he could find someone, and he just fucking donated my full-size leather couch, a Serta mattress, a brand new bed frame, vintage nightstands, this cool shelf. That quilt is $650 on Etsy, just that by itself. Donated all of it and literally did not care. I was like, are you kidding me? And he was like, I don't have the bandwidth for this right now, Allison. Bye.
Oh, I'm sorry. I haven't said anything. My jaw is like literally gaping open. That is so wrong. If that was me, I would be like putting this person on blast all over the internet. And like, I'm so angry for you. No, like that's so insane.
Insane. And my response, I was like, I really have nothing to say to you besides karma is going to handle this one. And I hope in LA that you find healing, because that is a really terrible thing to do to someone.
I mean, yeah, that's spot on. That is so horrible. Especially knowing if it's the bed frame I'm thinking of. That's a very nice bed frame, just that piece alone.
You know, I like can't marinate on it. Because yeah. Even yesterday, starting to kind of creep look in. At some of the tax stuff. Like, okay, like how some of my assets went down because I sold some things, transferred some over here. And I was like, oh, well, there's all the stuff that guy just donated. I would have rather. I honestly hope he sold them. I'm like, at least tell me that you sold them because you needed money and you wanted them to go to a good home or something. Like, he literally said he had a service come and just pick up everything. And I don't even know if that means that they like got properly donated. It makes me like sick.
Oh my God. Well, I'm sorry that happened. That's really, really shitty, especially if you trusted that person.
Yeah. So if I have trust issues for a little bit, that's why.
Maybe that's a lesson I feel like I'm seeing. Just don't let people borrow your stuff. I saw like another TikTok of a girl. Her like roommate let her friend borrow her favorite Depop skirt, like a skirt. She got on Depop, one of a kind. And then like that girl's friend just like lost it. And she texts her like, hey, can I get it back? No response. I'm like, I feel like I'm seeing these things that are making me question ever letting anyone borrow anything ever again. That's awful.
It is. And maybe that sounds so corporate or serious to say, like defining the terms of borrowing, but I felt like I was really clear because I had like every one of my loved ones. I'm like, please read through this entire text thing. Tell me where I went wrong. Did it insinuate that I was like not wanting these things? Did it seem like I was gifting them to him? And they were like, no. In August, I was like, hey, I'm back for a full week. There's like a hurricane in Tulum. I've like contacted friends and family that can help move. Is there any day in the next 6 days that I could come get some of my stuff? Because I was like, okay, I already gave him like 6 weeks. Like, and he never answered like if someone had moved in or not. Crazy. And that couch was a nice fucking couch.
I can't think about it either. I'm like being stressed for you. No, at the root of it all, someone took advantage of your kindness. And you're right. Karma's going to get them. Like, that's really the thing that you can leave it at, because you're right. No one does something like that and doesn't get punished.
Exactly. And I'm like, what's the point of like annihilating them online? Because no one knows them anyway. They moved and they weren't from Omaha anyway. And I'm like, that's just like more of my effort. Like, I really am just going to let the universe, God, source, karma, mother nature,
every single thing, just all of them.
Power team is going to handle it.
Gosh. Anything
Sorry
else?
To dwell on that. Yeah. No, that was like really negative.
No, that was such a good vent. Like, I know that you need an event sometimes when stuff like that happens. Is there anything that you want to leave on that's like a high?
How I said, we went to Phoenix Scottsdale for Christmas. It was kind of fun because of the six of us, we were trying to like round robin, be like, what do you want to do? What's like a key thing you want to do? And it made for a nice, well-rounded trip of doing some things that I'm like, I would have never picked this, but it's cool. But my pick was taking a day trip up to Sedona. And Sedona is just so wonderful. And I got myself some, I don't know if you want to call them souvenirs, but I got some crystals and some aromatherapy things, a really beautiful handmade vase. The ceramicist was in her shop and she was like, who I want to be when I'm like 65, just like living in Sedona with like all of her ceramics. She just looks so adorable. And I was like, you know what? This is a cause I want to support. And I'm going to make that the point of this little story. My sister, when we were in this like market thing on Christmas Eve, there was this adorable little Italian man like doing the caricatures. And she was like, you know what? He was like starting to talk to her. And she goes, this is a cause I want to support. Like, I want to give this guy $20. Like, he made it all the way here. He was like telling his story, like, you know, came over, somehow ends up in Phoenix drawing caricatures at markets. She's like, I want to give this guy the $20. So I'm like, okay, great. This is your Christmas present. $20 to the guy. And when I was in Sedona at that pottery shop, I'm like, it's like $100 for like a small handmade vase, you know, like it's quality thought put in from a special place. And I was like about to not get it. And I was like, you know what? This is a cause I want to support. Like we mindlessly buy stuff like from big chains all the time. Like all of us probably have gone to Target and mindlessly spent $100 and hardly remembered it. And I'm like, this is a cause I want to support. And I want more artists and creatives and freelancers. And the only way that we're going to keep those people in the world is to continue supporting them. And now I have a cute pot on my counter.
Aw, that's a nice story.
How about you? How was your Christmas and New Year's?
I'm same as you. I actually did travel for the holidays. Well, first I had my final work trip of the year in Miami. That was a week long. It was really great. The first day, like the travel day, I got the stomach flu. So that was not fun. It was like that 24-hour norovirus thing that was going around. Like so many people had it. It was disgusting. It was awful, but it was only 24 hours. So then I was on the up and up. So it started out a little low, but then we had a good time and it was beautiful weather. I had never really been to Miami since I was like 8 or 7 or something, maybe 9. So that was nice. I got to go back and see it and actually experience it as an adult. So that was really cool. And then from Miami, my family was in Florida also for the holidays randomly. My parents went to Orlando because they had some family friends going to Orlando. So then we all decided to go to Orlando and it was good. Also really nice weather. It is such a bummer coming back to the Midwest after being in just like this nice warm weather. I relate to you on that note, but hung out with my parents and then Riley, McKenna and Brady couldn't make it. So it was just the four of us. And we went to, I guess McKenna was in the Netherlands with her husband because he's from the Netherlands. So they do every other year in Europe. And then Brady decided to travel also. So next year, hopefully we'll all be together. And we did Disney World. That was fun. I feel like if you're going to Orlando, you have to hit Disney World. I need to do a TikTok of like the full breakdown of the cost because it was actual insanity how much that costs. Because I'm like, I'm probably not going to come here for a while. I'm going to go all out. Like I'm going to buy the line cutting pass and I'm going to buy the food because it's not like I come here all the time. So I was like, I'm just going to go all out. So insane. We spent definitely at least $1,500 for 4 tickets, food, probably close to $2,000 for one day, which is literally disgusting. So I need to make a TikTok so that I can hopefully like make some creator fund money back to fund those tickets. Cause like, what the hell? But it was really fun. And that was like my parents' Christmas gift to us, other than like some other little tiny things. And then headed back to St. Louis, did actual Christmas with Connor's family, hung out. The last couple weeks have been so nice. I've just been chilling with Connor, doing house projects, also just kind of like lounging. I feel like we know that this time is very short-lived. Like you said, that New Year's energy is going to hit. We're going to be hitting the ground running. So I was just kind of milking it and reading. My mom got me like a crossword search, not crossword, like a word search book for Christmas. So I've been doing word searches. I don't know. Lots of lounging leisurely, but very excited to dive into the new year and get back to it.
How was Disney as an adult? I know you went in California, but like to be around your family all as an adult.
Yeah, I'm like kind of getting scared that I'm going to be categorized as a Disney adult because why did I go to Disney World like 3 times this year? Like in 2024, because we went after a work trip. There was like 3 of us that were in LA for a work trip. We're like, what if we just went to Disneyland? So I went to Disneyland then. And then I went to Disneyland in Tokyo because I'm like, it's $30. Like the ticket was literally $30 and it was like 30 minutes outside the city. I'm going to go. And then I went again to Disney World. I'm like, oh my God, I think I'm like in Disney adult territory. So no, it was very fun. I will say Disney World was definitely the best of those 3 that I went to this year. Disney World definitely does it the best. Like you can feel the difference. And I guess I just learned that Disneyland Tokyo, I didn't know this when I was there, isn't actually operated by Disney World. It's licensed. So the Oriental something company.
So it's kind of like a franchise almost.
Yeah, it's like a franchise. So, I mean, it still feels magic and stuff, I guess. Like the vibes are there, but something like the effort wasn't there. And you can feel, and even Disneyland California, the effort wasn't there. And I guess I did know this too, because I worked on a Disney World commercial for like a week in 2022. And the effort is there in Orlando. If you're only going to go to a Disney destination for a trip and you're between Orlando or California, the effort and like the customer service at the Orlando one is just 10 times better, in my opinion. So it was really fun. We went to Epcot. That was the there's like all these different parks. We chose Epcot and we did a little bit of Animal Kingdom because I really wanted my family to go on this Avatar ride. I guess that's a funny story that we can move on. But when I was there in 2022, we were so sleep deprived because we were working like all day. I think I would go to bed at like 1 a.m. and we'd get up at like 4 a.m. to go film because you have to shoot like really, really early or really, really late because that's when the parks aren't open. And I think I was actually like sleep deprived, delusional, because I rode this one ride in Animal Kingdom and I like swore it changed my life. It's the Avatar ride, if you guys know what I'm talking about, where like you're on the back of like an Ikron, whatever those like dragon looking things are in the Avatar movies. And it's actually it is really cool. But I was like, my family needs to ride this. It's so sick. And we all rode it. And I'm like, oh, that was not life changing. I think I was just actually delusional. I think I was crazy when I was there and like cracked out from the lack of sleep for like 5 days in a row. So that was like kind of funny because we were all a little like disappointed because I like really hyped it up. So oh, I don't hype up so the rides because it did not live up to the hype at all. But Epcot was really cool. And back to the magic of like the effort, every country you went to in Epcot had people from that country working it because they do the whole college exchange program. So if you went to Norway, every worker was Norwegian. If you went to Germany, they were all from Germany, or majority of them. So I thought that was really cool and like a nice little touch. Like people working in those different areas were speaking French, they were speaking German. I thought that was cool.
That is really, really cool. I went to Epcot maybe in like fourth or fifth grade, and how you were saying the cost of it. Whenever I think of Disney, I think of how much families spend to take children that are like so young. And I'm like, yeah, are they going to remember this? Like, this is a really nice big gift to your children to go and do that.
But even my parents, though, they were saying when we used to go, like when we were kids, it was not that expensive. It has gone.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. It's gotten so much worse. To go to two parks, like a park hopper ticket. First of all, my mom was like, there's four parks. If you got any park hopper ticket, you could go to all of them in one day. Now you only get to go to two unless you get like the four parks. It's just crazy. Mm. But to go to two parks, I think it was like $268 each for one day. Wow. That's like absurd.
Yeah. And then if you don't get the fast pass line, you're like, oh, cool. So we get three rides today.
Yeah. So then you get the fast pass line, which I don't remember how much that was each, maybe $30 each, $35.
I feel like that's so worth it.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, so worth it.
Yeah, you're literally spending the day in line.
Yeah, we did everything we wanted to do, for sure. But then, like, oh my God, it's so much brain power. I was honestly happy that it was over because then I could, like, actually rest because I did my work trip, which, I don't know, you know, sometimes it's, like, not a lot of sleep, working a lot. And then I went straight to Orlando. We did Disney the first day. And you have to, like, be on the app at 7 a.m. to, like, make your reservations for the day. It's all about the app now, which, I don't know, was just exhausting. But at the end of the day, it was worth it. And doing all of that was fun, and getting to ride the rides, like you said, skip the lines, jump around was really fun. But it's a lot of work. So, yeah. Who knows? I definitely want to take my kids someday, but you're right. I don't think we'll be going as much as my family took us because we used to live in Georgia. So it was only a short drive, and my parents would take us a couple times a year when we lived there. And yeah, I don't know how it's going to happen because it's just gotten so crazy.
You're like, kids, we're going to Worlds of Fun.
Yeah, we're going to Six Flags in Adventureland. Okay, should we do peaks of the week?
There's a lot I could say. There was nothing really standout, but I had a lot of nice little moments. On Lemony, I saw this post that was like, websites you don't know about that will change your life. And two of them stood out, and they have been low-key a little life-changing. Mm-hmm. One is called asoftmurmur.com, and it's a white noise generator. You like select your own intensity of rain, thunder, fire crackles, birds, singing bowls, and you basically like move the slider up and down for how much of that you want in your white noise, and it's free. It's just like right on the homepage. And sometimes I always have white noise, or I don't know if I'm saying it right, binaural beats or something like that going on while I'm sleeping or working. And this is just so nice because I don't have to like find a playlist. I can just put it on and it goes forever. And then the second one was this recipe generator, supercook.com. I feel like you probably know that one.
No, I don't think I've heard of it.
So you type in everything that you have in your kitchen, and then it populates recipes using those ingredients. So I just like rapid fire put some in, and it came up with 1,478 recipes I could use. Everything from like coconut popsicles to like homemade jams to smoothies to breakfast things. And I was like, this is incredible, because some of the ideas I was like, I would never have thought I had the stuff to make that in my kitchen right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the grocery store is kind of far from my apartment. It's definitely requires intention. And sometimes I'm just like, I feel like I don't have any groceries. Or maybe we all feel that way. We like open the pantry and we're like, there's nothing in here, even though there's like tons of stuff. So yeah, if you guys want to check either of those out, they were very helpful for me.
Amazing.
How about you?
I'll say my peak of the week, I had a really fun New Year's with our friends. It was very chill. Our friends had like a basement party and rang in the New Year, watched the New York ball drop. But yeah, it was really fun. Good vibes going into the New Year.
I love that. If anyone spent New Year's Eve alone, I've kind of decided that I think New Year's is like actually the number one holiday that makes sense to spend alone, because like Christmas, you want to be around your family. 4th of July, you're out celebrating, doing the whole Americana thing. Halloween, you want to like show off your costume and get dressed up with your friends. I was like, New Year's, like it makes sense that whatever you're doing on New Year's Eve is kind of like saying, this is the energy I want to embody going into the new year. Because I had two friends that were like, I feel so lame, like I'm staying home on New Year's Eve. And I was like, oh, I'm like choosing to because I want to. And I was like, I don't think you should feel bad about that. Go through your year, like reflect on it, make some goals. That is like kind of what New Year's is about, you know? I mean, it's totally mm-hmm. fine if you want to like go out and celebrate, but there's a lot of holidays where you're just like out drinking or at a party.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's also just a day. And you're right. If that made someone feel lame, it's not. And it's a lot of people say it's the overrated holiday. So yeah, I agree with that sentiment. It's another great night where you can just chill and reflect or finish your goals if you didn't finish them.
Clock
get that reading goal in, reading till the clock strikes midnight. Okay, should we read listener peaks?
Yes. I love this first one from Nicole. She said, spending the day at a coffee shop, reflecting on 2024 and prepping for 2025. Another girlie who said, I'm choosing me on this New Year's Eve. I love that.
Eleanor's peak was getting over an unknown sickness after the holidays. Same. That was such a high for me. Like they always say, when you're sick, you don't realize how grateful you are to be not sick, and all you want to be is not sick. So I related to that one.
Mallory said, baked my first loaf of sourdough bread and surprisingly, it turned out really well. Goals. That is like on my life bucket list. Bailey that we had on a few months ago, she's always sharing her sourdough recipes.
And another person at a warm location for Christmas, Grace said, enjoying the California sun for Christmas. As always, leave your peaks on our Instagram page, Artie Friends Podcast. We post the story box every Monday.
As a retail shop owner, I know how important it is to have a good, reliable POS system. That's why I'm so excited about our sponsor today, Shopify. Shopify has already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source. Track everything across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers both in-line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/alreadyfriends. That is all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/alreadyfriends to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/alreadyfriends. Thank you again to Shopify for sponsoring the Already Friends podcast.
Something I've been diving into and learning more about are hormone disruptors and how there's over 1,000 disruptors daily in our lives. Things in our food, our water, the air we breathe, our clothes, our skincare, all of these things mess up our hormones, and our bodies also go through natural hormonal changes. But with all of this, it does not mean that we have to suffer through it. And the good news is that there is a product out there to help. It's called Hormone Harmony, and they are a sponsor of the show. Hormone Harmony is a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. That's why Hormone Harmony is perfect for all women who are struggling with PMS symptoms, menopause symptoms, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Hormone Harmony can help with all of these things. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon, and there's a reason that it has over 30,000 positive reviews, and a bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. So if you resonate with any of these symptoms, any of these issues, for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ALREADYFRIENDS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ALREADYFRIENDS to get your Hormone Harmony and start to feel more like yourself. Again, ALREADYFRIENDS at happymammoth.com for 15% off. Thanks to Happy Mammoth for sponsoring the show. You guys know we're all about how to thrive in 2025 this year. And if you're ready to optimize your nutrition, Factor is here to help. Factor is a sponsor of the show, and they have chef-made gourmet meals that make eating well easy. They're dietitian approved and ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. So you can fuel right and feel great no matter what life throws at you. So Factor arrives fresh and fully prepared. It's perfect for any active, busy lifestyle. You can lose up to 8 pounds in 8 weeks with Factor Keto meals, and that is based on a randomized controlled clinical trial with Factor Keto. So results will vary depending on your diet and exercise. With 40 options across 8 dietary preferences on the menu each week, it's easy to pick meals tailored to your goals. Choose from preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, or Keto, and Factor can help you feel your best all day long with wholesome smoothies, breakfast, grab-and-go snacks, and more add-ons. So reach your goals this year with ingredients you can trust and convenience that you cannot beat. I'm telling you guys, the convenience is the biggest factor for me. Factor for Factor. I love that they just ship everything straight to your house. You just pop the meals in your fridge, and then whenever you're ready to go, you just throw in the microwave. It cannot be easier to stick with those wellness goals. Eat smart with Factor. Get started today at factormeals.com/factorpodcast and use the code FACTORPODCAST to get 50% off your first box plus free shipping. That's code FACTORPODCAST at factormeals.com/factorpodcast to get 50% off plus free shipping on your first box.
Amazing. I feel like to circle back, maybe was that like the beginning of December? You and I had like a year-end call. I don't know if it's the end of the year that makes me start to reflect a lot or just the life cycle of how my 2024 went, like moving from Omaha down to Tulum. It was a lot of having to intentionally choose what I wanted to keep in my life versus what I wanted to get rid of. And I was just kind of going through everything, you know, career stuff, relationship stuff, material things, cleaning out my storage unit, emotions, the whole thing. And it made me realize before, Kara and I are both very good at, I don't think we lack optimism. I don't think we lack tenacity in setting new goals, but It made me realize, okay, maybe we have been a little overzealous and tried to take on a little too much, given that the podcast is not our full-time job, but it's because we care about it and we love it. And we wish it could be as big as our dreams have it. And we could manage all of the channels and all of the group trips and all of the Zoom Patreon calls, like the whole thing. But when it comes down to it, it's like time is a factor and we can't do all of the things. And so I felt like we owed it to you guys to tell you where we fell short or just walk through that. Because I feel like a lot of times when you see someone online, people usually say what their goals are. Very rarely do people say like, okay, holding myself accountable, I totally quit 75 hard, or I totally didn't go to the gym every day like I said I was going to. I actually only read one book instead of 12. Like, and this time of year, I think it's easier to compare than any other time because everyone is like, here's my goals for the year. But please remember, that does not mean people are hitting them. Like Anyone can write stuff down. Anyone can say like, here's what I'm going to do this year. But what did we actually do? And I love having goals. I love, you know, aiming for the sky. But to be realistic, I think it's also important to be accountable and saying, yeah, this was a goal and we didn't meet it. So we're going to go through some podcast things that we just totally dropped the ball on to make you guys feel better that if there's things in your life that you dropped the ball on, we did too.
Yes, exactly. Well, the first one was definitely more of me dropping the ball as it was a delegated task to me. And it honestly, we just fell short. Me falling short was listener of the week. this, again, was more of an optimistic thing. And I guess when I had proposed that we do this, I didn't think it would go forever, but I also just never like had a, you know, set a date to end it or, you know, went through with ending it. Cause, you know, we like to run promotions. Our first year we did a big PR box giveaway. The next year we did AirPod Pros giveaway. So this was another one where I was like, okay, it's going to be for a certain amount of time. But I just never put the end date, and the end date just like one day happened and then it was never communicated or changed on the outro of the podcast. Listener of the week was a giveaway we were doing just to buy people coffee as a thank you for leaving a review, a rating, just being a listener, because we have so many amazing listeners. So we wanted to reward them. But with my wedding that was happening at the beginning of the summer, once we were getting close to that, I actually had zero. I don't want to say I had zero time because that's an excuse, but if you've planned a wedding or if you've, especially destination wedding, if you've gotten married, you know that like every single second leading up to it of your free time is just going to covering your tracks, thinking of things that you might have forgotten, planning things, people getting, texting you questions, all these things. So at some point in that shuffle, I missed a week and then I missed a second week and then I just like fully forgot to keep doing it. So I apologize to anyone who was hoping to win Listener of the Week. The good news is we picked people for the rest of the time period that I missed. We'll be giving those out. So check your DMs, check your inboxes. So we'll be giving the rest of those spots away. And we are going to do hopefully another fun, rewarding segment. But this one was just so time intensive. And I guess another big issue that we were having, the only way we could buy people coffee was to either give them like a Starbucks gift card. There's like no other coffee company that's all over the world, I guess, because we have listeners in like over 100 countries. And we weren't, it's just like so inconvenient to do that. You have to give someone's email, then it can get lost in the email. I don't know. It was just, we quickly ruled that out, that was not going to happen. Or we could PayPal them, because as a business with money, it's really hard to send people money. Like, because you can't have a Venmo as a podcast. You have to be like an actual person. And so the only way we could do it was through PayPal. And I think half the time we'd get a response like, oh my gosh, thanks so much for picking me. I don't have a PayPal, so you can pick somebody else. And we're like, oh, throw our hands up. It just wasn't a logistically sound initiative.
And we couldn't do the gift, like, oh, a Visa gift card, because then you had to pay like $3 for it. And then
a $6 fee every time.
Yeah, for a $10 gift card. And that's not, as a business, you can't do that because we don't know what the customer would spend it on then. Like, they could go buy something that's not a business purchase. And so we couldn't go that route. Like, we did. We put an effort to look into other options. And I feel like that was kind of draining to be like, okay, well, this was supposed to be like a fun thing. And now logistically, it's just not. And then that made us not want to continue to figure out how to make it work over something that was just supposed to be a sweet little thing.
Like, Oprah, you get a coffee, you get a coffee, you get a coffee. But instead it was like roadblock after roadblock. And then I think honestly, it probably hit a point where it was so discouraging knowing that someone was going to message me back, like, I don't have PayPal, or like, can you do this instead? And like going back and forth. It was just like a lot of back and forth. And we have scraped that idea. Apologies. And we will be having hopefully something new, another way to reward you guys in the future.
Yeah, because when we did the other giveaways in the past, like you said at the beginning, it was an idea that had an end goal, that had a fixed, okay, you're getting AirPods. Like, it was a tangible thing. So now we know, we learn from this, if we're going to do a giveaway, a promotion, we have to have a start date, an end date, and the ability to gift a thing that the podcast can actually buy.
Yes, 1,000%. So and that's what
if
learned.
You guys are also wondering, like, well, why didn't Allison just do it? Because we are a duo. After 4 years, we obviously have had times where you get busy, I get busy, and we like yin yang go back and forth and pick up each other's slack. But this was something that from the beginning, I was like, I don't know, like, I already post the peak box, like, I can't do this one. And then when it was your wedding, I was like, I did a couple of guest episodes where you were off, and I was just like, I can't take this on either. My life is crumbling. I'm moving out of the country. And those were two huge things in our year that for this other stuff we're going to say, like, getting married is a huge thing in your year, plus your honeymoon. For me, moving out of the country, huge thing. And also, that wasn't like this nice organized plan move out of the country. I basically got forced out of my home and then was like, what the fuck am I supposed to do? So while we are being accountable anyway, and those are excuses, they are the reason why we didn't follow through. And that's okay, because we wanted to prioritize these big moments in our life that weren't going to come around again.
Yes, exactly. And to be 100% fair, like you said, there's just like tasks that we have in the podcast that we just know is like the other person's task. And this one was definitely just like a Kara task. And I would have never asked you, because like you said, you pick up the slack in so many areas and vice versa. If like someone needs help with something, we know to ask the other person. But this one, there's like three tasks I think we both have that's just like the other person's thing. And this was one of mine. So I'm just like fully owning that. And now we've learned so much going into how we can do other marketing fun, rewarding promotions, like you said.
It is. And to wrap up that thought, like you said, we are going to back select some listeners of the week because karmically, I feel like that's the right thing to do. We, to be true to our word, we said we were going to do this listener of the week thing. So even though we didn't do it in the timeline that we said, to make a wrong a little less wrong, not like this was like illegal or like so horrible, but we're going to try to at least, you know, make it a little bit better.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Next thing, group trips. Oh my God. This one has like been weighing on me for so long. So we did the Costa Rica trip October 2023. The company that we did it with, obviously after we get back from the trip, they're like, use this momentum, get another trip in the books. And it's true. You guys like were asking for more group trips because the Costa Rica one had sold out quickly. And yeah, go ahead.
And to say that whole process on, I think on our end was amazing. The pre-planning, their logistics, everything they did to get us to Costa Rica was amazing. It was a very little lift on our end. Like we got to do the fun stuff. We got to ask you guys to come. We got to make cute videos promoting it. We sold out the trip. I think logistically, it was a very good alignment. We loved our representative from that company. Rachel, if you're listening, we love you. You're the best. But then I guess also something that we just realized in that process, the style of the trip wasn't 1,000% aligned. Like it was definitely, it was giving field trip and we're all about the connection. And there were times where we were on that trip and we all just wanted to hang out and stay up late and like play card games or get to know each other. But we had to be up at like sunrise the next morning, or it was just go, go, go. So I want to preface that because I feel like what you're going to say next, it's good to have that background of like logistically, it worked amazing. So there was a lot of pros to doing more group trips, but the cons were there too.
100%. And Kara and I travel all of the time. It's something we talk about on the podcast almost weekly. And so then for us to host a group trip that was not really how we ever travel, we kind of felt like there was a miss in we wanted to give our community the type of trip that we do in our own lives. And so then we did decide to do the Bali trip. And that also when we had to launch, because you have to, the timeline of the trip was going to be like the following fall or summer, and you have to have it like planned out 6 to 8 months. Well, that timeline hit right over Christmas, New Year's Eve for us. So we're like trying to spend time with our families. Like I'm in Colombia and we're like, oh my gosh, like we have so many other things we have to do, but we have to launch this trip right now, even though it's 7 months from now.
Yeah.
So we didn't really have time to think, do we actually really, really want to do this trip? Can we do this trip? Is this a good idea to do this trip 2 weeks after Kara gets married? Is this good to do while Allison's life is crumbling at her apartment? Like, absolutely not.
And is this the right destination? I feel like that was a huge one. And you're right. It was like a lot of time and pressure of we knew we wanted to maybe travel during this month. We're like, okay, well, that you want to do this month? Like, you need to plan this yesterday. So we had like all this pressure, which I don't think it was fake pressure. Like I do actually think with these big orchestrated trips, there are a lot of people that need to know, like hotel operators, tour. Like I totally do get it. But for us, it was just so stressful for no reason.
Especially because we know, I'm like, I can book a flight to the other side of the world tomorrow and get my shit together and get it packed. So like, yeah. I think it was hard for us as people who do plan trips and coordinate other stuff. Like you are a producer. I used to do event planning. I'm like, well, I know I don't need 7 months to do this. Like I could whip it out in a 2-day powwow if we need to. Yeah. And so then it kind of felt like, yeah, just a lot of pressure.
There's chaotic energy already going into it just to start. So then moving forward.
Yeah, we launch it. And then we're just like, before we get too many more people involved, because people signed up, obviously now at this point, hotels are going to get booked, flights are going to get booked. We're like, we need to, and I will say, like, I initiated it. I'm usually the person who's like encouraging us to quit more. Kara's usually like team in a great way. Like, we can persevere. And I'm like, no, like scrap it. And so, because I was worried, like, okay, well, what if someone buys a flight that's not refundable? Like,
yeah,
I don't think we can stick it out, because then what if this ends up costing someone like a lot of money? And then that's a horrible reflection on us. And I wouldn't let them do that. Then I would just probably Venmo them for their flight or something. And like, I don't want to do that. And I feel like we're the type of people that then if we cancel something, we want to be like, well, here's the other option. And so it was kind of like, okay, well, let's cancel this Bali trip and maybe do something on our own, or maybe do an in-person meetup or an alternative community engagement. But then due to all of the reasons we just said, we didn't even have a plan B.
Yeah, I guess to reel it back a couple steps for why I think we ended up canceling the trip. There was definitely a few factors. One, it was definitely lower signups than Costa Rica. Like, we sold out Costa Rica within 48 hours. That was so exciting. That was such a high. And I feel like you said, it was a lot of like, okay, plan the next one, push through. I don't think we launched it at the right time. I think people were just getting over the spending thousands of dollars on Christmas, holidays, like that low. Like, I'm in that low right now. I don't want to spend a dollar right now. Because same. I spent so much money on the holidays. Disney World took all my money. And I think we like launched it at that time, which we should have known, because you and me are very marketing savvy, smart. I don't know. It was just weird timing. That was a low. And the timing of the trip, once we sat down, we're like, wait, why are we going to do this? Like you said, right after a wedding, right after you're going to be moving. It was a choice that wasn't thought through really. And then, yeah, we had so many messages of like, dang it, I would have loved to be on this trip, but Bali is just a little too far. And we only chose Bali because that was the number one option. I think we had over 200 votes, you know, hundreds of votes of what destination people wanted to go to. And Bali was by far the number one. And even when we were choosing it, yes. I think you and I were like, Bali, that's interesting. Like, that's definitely like a 2018, 2019 destination. Also, it's just so far. I'm like, I'm surprised everyone wants to go this far. But this is what the votes say. This is what the data says.
I know. And our guts, we should have listened to our guts, because
yeah,
multiple times along this way, we were like, I don't know, like we could do Colombia, we could do Puerto Rico, we could do something, we could even go camping in Yellowstone. There are so many other options.
Yeah. And it was just, we got so many messages. Oh my gosh, I had no idea how far Bali was. I'm like, okay, we should have known.
Mm-hmm.
It's so far. I mean, yes, easily a ticket's going to be $1,500, $2,000 round trip if you don't use points or know how to do all that stuff. Our Costa Rica flights, people were getting them $300 to $600 mm-hmm. round trip. If you booked it like super last minute, maybe $700. So I think that was like a huge discrepancy, that even though people voted for Bali, they just didn't know how expensive the flights were. And we should have flagged that from the beginning, but like we said, we just went with what people voted for. And now we know that things that are closer are better for our community, which,
and with the PTO, like it's a 19-hour journey over there, not counting you getting an Uber to your own airport, getting your dog to a Borders, like all of that stuff. And so if you only have a certain amount of PTO and you're like, I have to use basically 1.5 days on the front end and 1.5 days on the back end just to get to this destination.
Yeah.
That's also a big factor versus Costa Rica. You could get on a 5 a.m. flight and be there by lunchtime. That's a huge difference.
So we learned a lot from that failure, and it was definitely a bummer. Like we've already said, it is not fun to have to quit on things, but then it wasn't a good alignment for what we had envisioned.
Mm-mm. And I think I posted in the Facebook group like a long 3-minute talking to the camera explanation of why we didn't do it. But I will own that we definitely should have announced that we were canceling the trip on the podcast, which actually reaches our audience in one of the 50 episodes of the year.
Yeah. And I mean, stuff like that is hard because we did own it to the people that signed up. We canceled within mm-hmm. like a day. We canceled right away. We knew very early on because the response before we launched the destination and the signups was so high. People were so excited. And then once we launched the destination, immediately everyone's like, oh my God, it's so far. Oh my God, the flights. So we heard the feedback almost immediately. So I feel like we were able to address it so early on. We're like, I don't feel like this failure, it seems very big, but I feel like we made right with the people who committed, like immediately canceled it so that no one was out. But yeah, I mean, just to give ourselves some grace, I'm like, I don't know if we maybe there was some like middle ground where we could have like announced it, but I don't think we needed to like make it as big of a thing as the
previous failure. Emailed the people who had signed up immediately. They got all of their money back. Like, please, if you're listening, do not think that we like robbed the listeners of their money. And if we ever do a trip again, like, rest assured, we will be more thoughtful. You would never like lose out your booking, deposit, etc.
Yeah. Okay, we have two more that we wrote down for things we fell short on. One of them, this isn't necessarily a direct failure, more of something that we're going to shift based on how it made us feel. It kind of gave us falling short energy. So this coming year, we definitely really want to refocus on our wellness content. And I guess going back to when we started the podcast, it was all wellness, all how-tos, well-being, bettering yourself. And I think we did that for almost 1 to 2 years, every single episode. And then it definitely quickly gave us burnout. Do you want to talk about that?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, put yourself in our shoes. You're going to start a podcast and I want you to write down the top 50 to 100 topics you want to talk about. Well, for the first 10 to 20, you're like, okay, I'm going to talk about this and this and this. You start to get to 50 to 100 and you're like, okay, I'm kind of stretching myself. Maybe I don't feel qualified to talk about that. We've had 200 episodes. So as we started getting into 125, 150 episodes, we were starting to feel like we covered a lot of our key topics that we felt like in our own lives, we either had experience with, had greatly impacted us, were worth making a podcast over. And the further we got along, it was just like, are we either like being redundant or are we qualified to talk about this? And then we brought on a lot of guests, which were great. But then we're like, well, this is our show. So we want to have a balance of guests versus our content. And we did need a break for sure. That did set us up to be burned out because at the beginning, not only were we figuring out the topics, but just like our rhythm between us, the style of the show, editing, social media, like there was a lot of newness. But now that we're on our fourth year, we have momentum. We have a listener base. We have our structure of when we record, how we record, the editing process, the output, that now we don't have to think about those aspects as much every week. They're our routine. And we can give some of that energy to the content rather than to the logistics of having a podcast.
Yeah. When we were doing so much of the how-to and wellness, like you said, there were so many other things you're still working through, figuring out that spending an hour or two researching, diving into an outline, pulling facts or pulling our insight, it was just so much to add on top of everything else. So then we kind of switched to some more of that lifestyle content of just us talking about our favorite things or things that we saw on the internet this week and just kind of diving into different trending pop culture things going on. And that was the breath of fresh air that we needed in those time. We needed that break from making outline after outline after outline. But now going forward, I guess where it's giving like that falling short energy is just we have in that year end call we did when we reflected on our content, we're like, this doesn't really align with what we started this podcast on. We did a lot of fun episodes and it was nice. And actually, honestly, for last year with how busy both of us were, we needed that break in the constant outlines and constant research. But going back to what we started the podcast for and what was so rewarding, it always was really rewarding to have those episodes on confidence or reality of doing 75 hard or just those big how-to well-being episodes were always our favorites. So why did we get away from those? And I guess this is us saying that in this coming year, we're going to kind of go back and refocus on the wellness and bring you guys value because that's what inspires us. That's what gets us excited. And that's what gets you guys excited. Those have always been our top episodes. And we're just going to go back to those topics that really succeed for us and kind of leave the ones that fell short behind in 2024.
Yes, couldn't agree more that it was a nice breath of fresh air to allow us to continue having an episode every single week. But now, like, you're through your wedding, I've relocated, the dust has settled kind of in like the craze of 2024. Not that we're not still going to be very busy in 2025, but seeing the data and how many more downloads our quote value packed how-to episodes had, it's easier now to make that decision week to week to be like, yes, this is worth making an outline over and listening to some maybe other podcasts, reading some chapters and books, reading articles. meditating on it because years later, people are still listening to these episodes. Some of those how-tos from 2021, 2022 are still getting downloaded every day. And that gives us energy and motivation that that is content that people want. And it makes it way more worth our time when it's not just, oh, we're doing all this for an episode for 1 week. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, we're going to make evergreen content that is relevant for years to come. And it holds us more accountable. It makes me feel like I put more value into the world. That being said, we know that there were a lot of you that started listening. Thank you very much. That like us for our personalities. And we have found by chance, because I was like, I'm going to spill the tea on my life in Patreon in like August, September, we saw a big jump in subscriptions over on our Patreon page for us sharing the raw and real side of us. And previously, Patreon was a little bit more of our value-packed episodes. Well, when we started that, ChatGPT wasn't a thing. There wasn't as much viral TikTok content about how to do things. So there was a paywall because that information wasn't as readily available. Well, now we've figured out that there's a lot of episodes on how to start an Airbnb, how to do whatever that we were putting in the Patreon that we were like, these are good episodes. Like, we kind of want those on our public channels and we can be the real, true, unfiltered, raw, cry, no makeup, cussing selves on the Patreon. Because if you care about us enough and you want to listen to that, you find value in that through relatability. And maybe not everyone in the world needs to have access to that mm-hmm. version of ourselves every single week.
Yes, 1,000% agree. And if you want more of that, we'll be keeping that on the Patreon. And if you want more of the value, we will be keeping it here. So that's kind of what we're thinking moving forward. And yeah, the numbers, the data, the shortcomings have all brought us to that conclusion. And I guess our final failure that we've come, I'm sure there's more failures, but we don't want to keep you guys here for 8 hours. So the last one we're going to say is with that reflection and that end of the year reflection, we realized that we weren't strategically posting our episodes or even just like using our time in our week correctly. So one of our biggest failures, honestly, has been posting our episodes on Fridays. That it's a bummer because I love saying Already Friends Friday, but the numbers do not lie. People do not listen until Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, like especially if we're doing a value packed episode where people really want to be paying attention. On Fridays, you're going to hang out with friends, you're going out, you're going to a concert, you're going on a trip. We were getting so many downloads in the beginning of the week, which then there's something with Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, where the amount of listens you get within 24 hours affects how it shows your episode to people or how you rank. So we would have really good listens. We would never rank or like we would fall short on rankings and what we used to rank in certain places. I don't know. There's just a lot of things where we've come to the conclusion that like rarely do podcast posts on Friday, Saturday, Sundays. And there's a reason. It just stinks for your engagement.
And it's just shooting ourselves in the foot because it's like we're doing all of this. We're doing the research. We're coordinating time to record. We're making this episode. We're paying to get it edited just to post it on the day where the least amount of people are listening. When you look at that without any emotion, it's like, that is so dumb. And yeah. If you're someone who loves listening on Fridays, we're like, you can still listen on Friday. That doesn't mean that you have to change your day of the week listening to Wednesday, but we don't want to be sacrificing our potential to grow just because there's a cute
alliteration
on Friday. Yeah, on Friends Friday. Like, that's literally the only reason we did it. And
I guess it was unique. We're like, everyone posts on these other days. Let's be the one. Let's take a risk, which we did. We took a risk. And I think it was worth trying. But again, there's just a reason that people don't post on Fridays. It was unique of us, but there's a reason. So I guess the announcement here is that we are going to switch to posting on Wednesdays. So buckle up if you need a midweek little pick-me-up. It'll be on Wednesdays.
And this is even us compromising a little bit because if we could get the podcast posted on Monday or Tuesday, that would be even better. But for our own lives, we were like, okay, so what? We're going to record on Saturday, listen and edit Sunday, post on Monday? Like that now is cutting into our time off with friends, family. And so we were like, okay, we can hit the ground running Monday morning. Like, look at us go. 7 a.m. for Kara, 8 a.m. for me. That energy of like doing the hardest, biggest thing of the week and just knocking it out Monday morning, like that makes me feel energized and motivated. And then our social media content, it makes way more sense because if we post on Wednesday, then over the coming days, we can then post the content relevant to that episode, to where before what would happen is the episode goes live on Friday. No one's on social media on Friday. So we're trying to post Saturday morning again when we're not really wanting to be working because we just did this big lift of getting the podcast up, all of our other work. So then we're posting on Saturday and Sunday, but then we're already thinking about the next episode because we usually record Tuesdays. So then our Sunday, Monday was spent preparing for the next episode. So we didn't have enough time to ever promote the episodes before it was like our brain shifted to thinking about the next episode, to where this, it's like, okay, Monday, it's a new week. It's a fresh start. We get to record that episode, do the behind the scenes stuff on Tuesday, get it up on Wednesday. Then we have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday to put content out around that episode. And then Sunday, boom, Sunday reset, move forward to the next episode. Like that just, we were going against the natural flow of how a week and our lifestyles go. It didn't make any sense in the flow of a week to do it so shifted where like,
Yeah. And it's funny because a lot of social media gurus or podcast people, they like our friend Julia Broom literally says never post on Fridays. It's one of her mantras, is to never post on Fridays. And I think eventually Allison was like, wait, she sent me one of her videos like never post on Fridays. And I was like, are we shooting ourselves in the foot? I'm like, you know what? I think we are. I think this is needs to change. So all that said, we'll be switching Wednesdays. You can still listen on Fridays, like Allison said, if you would like. But especially with that push to more wellness-focused content, at least for me personally, I love a good wellness how-to episode during the week when I'm in it, I'm working out, I'm eating right. It just is like very much weekday energy. Whereas like a Friday, love a fun lifestyle, I don't know, podcast like that. But that just, I feel like moving to Wednesdays aligns with us recentering back to providing you guys value.
And I think when we started the podcast, we were open to two routes of the podcast going. We were either down for like already Friends Friday, it being more about our personality, fun, relatable personality type of content. Like we're hanging out with you guys on the weekends. Like if you're feeling lonely, because also that was like pandemic time, like we're here with you. And then we also saw the route of like, we love like the wellness, the self-help, and we're doing this with other like-minded friends who also believe in this. And we were kind of open to like whatever pipeline really resonated with people and whatever evolved. And now after 4 years of data, we're like, okay, that relatable side is like maybe a little better on Patreon than for like sponsorships, SEO, value to you guys, our schedules, having more value on the public channel for these evergreen episodes that live for years makes a little bit more sense. And we didn't know that at the beginning. How do you know before you get started what people are going to want and what's going to resonate? And I think it's our due diligence as people in the media world to look at that data and adjust the North Star when needed.
Exactly. And the good news is we'll still have those catch-up segments. We'll still get to keep you guys updated on our lives with those short 10 to 20 minute segments. But then also, as Allison said, you can catch us on the Patreon. You can follow us on our own social medias. We'll be updating you guys there. There's plenty of ways to stay up with our lives if that is at all what you're interested in. So yeah, lots to reflect on and a lot to unpack there, but that's kind of what we compiled as things that we're going to be changing this upcoming year. I guess with all of that, going back into just falling short and failing, I mean, that's like a big step that you want to say, owning up to it can really make you feel a lot better. I mean, I feel like we're already feeling a lot lighter. I feel a lot lighter. Do you feel lighter?
Oh, 100%. I feel like the root of my anxiety sometimes is if I feel like I'm putting too good of a face forward to either my friends, family, on social media, on the podcast, that then I feel like a fraud and an imposter if I'm actually struggling or didn't keep my word on something. And the moment that I just quote, come clean or be honest, I'm always like, thank God, because it's like I already came to terms with it in myself that I didn't want to do this thing, but I worry about how it's going to be perceived by others. Mm-hmm. But always, I feel like it's better to just be honest and put it out there than to let something boil and fester. So I couldn't agree more. It's like my favorite thing about coming clean is it's like the weight is lifted, the clouds part.
Mm-hmm. And I think us doing this episode is us trying to normalize that falling short is so normal. I think we can accept failures by ourselves. Like you said, it's easy to accept that you fucked something up or didn't do what you said you're going to do to yourself, but having to address it to others is just like, why is that such a terrifying feeling? I guess because our society really hypes up people and like really gives you so much attention when you do something and accomplish something. So that opposite is just feels so, so low and so negative. But I think it can be a really positive thing. And it's almost like the word failure needs a rebrand. We need a different word because that word just feels so charged and terrible when it's really not. It just means
learning opportunity.
Thing. Yeah, it's a learning opportunity. I feel like we learned so much from those two examples of things that we fell short on that we would have never come to had we not messed them up.
And when you can make peace with that in one area of your life, it's a lot easier to continuously do that with other areas. And going into 2025, using that data, using what you learn from it to be like, okay, why make the same mistakes twice? Because yeah. It's like, oh, I was already supposed to learn that. And another thing I've been marinating on this week is why, if someone tells us they make, okay, say a guide, a course, they give you the advice, how come so often we have to learn the mistake for ourselves? How come we don't take people's warnings or words to be like, hey, I did this and it sucked because I had to learn this the hard way. Please don't make the same mistake I did. And there are many examples of this across like career, safety, whatever. For example, I saw this video on, well, actually someone sent it to me, of a girl this time last year who walked home alone in my neighborhood in Tulum, got jumped, sexually assaulted, and like beat up. And when I first moved here, I was walking home alone at night all the time. And then so many locals were like, please do not do that. Like daytime, 100% fine. Please do not do that at night. And I was like, it's fine. Nothing's ever happened. Like never had anything stolen. And finally, after enough people telling me, I was like, I'm not going to do that. And then when I saw that video, I was like, oh, that's why. And I'm so glad that I didn't have to learn that the hard way. And I've been watching, like I said, a lot of YouTube videos this week of like reflections and something. And I watched one of this guy who made a course. And his whole thing is that you can give information away for free all the time because he did a bunch of studies and of all of the different students and all of his courses, masterclasses, free ones, paid ones, anything, 98.7% of students will never finish and actually follow through with it. It's like 1.3% will take all of the advice, follow through, do the thing, scale it, believe in themselves, whatever. And so he's like, I just don't understand how I can give you an exact roadmap to do this thing, to have this success, and why people don't listen. And I just keep thinking about that because it's like, yeah, of course, everyone's journey looks different. But if someone is going to literally be like our podcast Bible guide, here's our guide. It's $25. We learned the hard way. We spent thousands of dollars. We spent so much time reading articles, doing all of this. Here's this guide. It's $25. It will save you thousands of dollars, tons of headache. And I'm sure that people have listened and like, oh, I don't need that or whatever. And I do that all the time where like I see a course over something or a podcast episode. And then it's just like someone tells you exactly how to do something, fitness, nutrition. And you're just like, eh, I don't know. And I'm like, why are we like that? I don't understand.
Yeah. I mean, it just, like you said, people want to learn their own way. And I don't know. Failure is the best lesson teacher.
Yeah. So I guess if that tells you anything, a lot more of us are failing all the time than people are succeeding. And same with New Year's resolutions. 80% of people will quit their New Year's resolution before February 1st.
Wow.
So once again, if you're comparing yourself to everyone posting online right now, 2 out of 10 of the people that you see are actually going to, that doesn't even mean they're going to continue for the whole year. They're just going to continue into February.
And thinking of that, hopefully that, I guess going back to like our optimism and having that energy, I would much rather be someone who's overly optimistic, setting these big goals and then falling short up in the middle,
mm-hmm.
rather than just not setting goals or like only doing baby goals and then falling short of being on that bottom tier when I could have shot for really, really high and been somewhere in the middle.
I love that for you. And I agree with that. That definitely is what works for you. I feel like I'm the type that I like to set the bar in the middle. And then when I get there, I raise it again. Like, even if I think about going for a run, every time I go for a run, I'm like, I'm just going to do a mile. Like, I'm just going to put my shoes on and do 1 mile. Like, and then when I get to a mile, I'm like, oh my gosh, like, that's fine. I can easily do 3 miles. And then I get to 3 miles and I'm like, well, I did an out and back. So now I have to run back and I'm not going to walk back. So I might as well just finish the other 3 miles. And then I feel like along the way, I'm getting like that satisfaction and feeling so good because I'm like, wow, I hit my goal 3 times in this run instead of saying I'm going to run 5 or 6 miles and then doing 1 and feeling like a piece of shit. But that's just what works for me. And I think both routes could get people far along because if you shoot really high, no matter what, you're going to move way further than if you didn't do it. I think mentally for me, like, I think you just are a more optimistic person. I think I maybe beat myself up in my head too much. And I know that for my mental health, like, I'm already going to be saying really negative things to myself and I don't need to like make it worse. I know that that won't help me get further. It'll just get me down and then make me want to quit.
You're right. I've definitely heard both of those routes from nutritionists or health coaches. I've literally heard both. So I guess maybe think about that. If either of those resonate with you, think about which one's more motivating for you. Because I agree. I think there's definitely times where I'm like, okay, just do this. And then I do more. And that's really satisfactional. But there's also times where I'm like, I'm glad that I dreamed bigger because I would have held myself back. Mm-hmm. So you can take either of those and apply it however suits you.
Further realization. Okay, take the 8 dimensions to apply it to, you know, a big value of the podcast. I think if there's an area where you're pretty confident in, like, let's say that there's an area where you feel really confident, maybe you're really strong in your career, and you know that you can set those lofty goals and get halfway there or 75% of the way there and meet them and still feel good about yourself. But if you have like a big insecurity around fitness and you're like, I'm going to go to the gym 5 days a week when you've never in your life gone more than twice, probably not going to do it. And you're going to be like, well, this is why it's never worked for me. So I kind of think you could separate all of those dimensions out and be like, okay, I know myself and I know that I need to be very realistic about my nutrition goals and not get overzealous and say, I'm going to go into this calorie deficit and get all of this protein and eat every meal at home when like that's never happened.
Yeah, I think that's so spot on. It's the areas that I'm more confident in where if I don't achieve the goal, it's not going to be the end of the world because I'm doing still really well in that area where I like to shoot big. But you're right. If there's something that I really need to work on, it's good. It's better to be realistic of taking those small steps to achieve it.
Because then your confidence grows. And that's what you need in that area where you feel insecure, you feel like you're lacking or not doing good enough. You need those small wins over and over and over again to be like, I've got this. Like, I am confident. I can do this. I can keep going. I can keep raising that ceiling over and over and over again to where you get to the point of being like, let's
up the ante.
Yeah.
Because confidence is saying that you're going to do something and then doing it. Mm-hmm. And that's that satisfaction to yourself that, hey, I've got this. I mean, it's just a part of life. It's crazy. It's like the unspoken, embarrassing, quote unquote, a part of life. But I feel like we should definitely be normalizing the shortcomings that we have. And we don't have to always highlight them publicly, but even just admitting it to friends or family, I feel like you're going to feel a burden lifted off your shoulders.
I feel like there's like a karmic law, even if it's just for myself, where if I say online that I have a goal or I'm going to do something, I like, as I was saying, I get a lot of anxiety. It feels like I can't write that until I acknowledge if I said I was going to do it publicly that I stopped doing it, because I feel like it's unfair to have people think that I'm doing something every single day when I'm not. And then them comparing and hurting their mental health because they're projecting something about someone else that's not even true. Like, oh, well, this person says someone was like, I get up at 5 a.m. every single day and then I go to the gym and then I read for an hour and I never look at my phone until 8 a.m. And they're like, I do this every single day. And then they just stop doing it. But you're thinking like, oh my God, this person's doing that every day. Like, what is wrong with me that I can't get myself to do that? And I think it's more helpful for that person to say, yeah, I still am getting to the gym, but life got busy and I'm like down to 3 days a week. And sometimes I do just check my phone in the morning and do a binge scroll. Like, I think that that is healing for people to see. And we have this weird pseudo relationship with people online where, since we don't get to meet them or interact with them in person, we just project this ideal version of them because they're showing us the most ideal version of them. But for ourselves, we see our ugliest sides. We see us not following through. We see our flaws, quote, we see our mistakes. We're beating ourselves up. So to compare your full spectrum self to someone's perfected, curated, ideal self online is like so unfair.
Yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate that the algorithms, they only want to see the perfectly curated, the highest highs. So it's almost like there's like no incentive for people to be honest, because if everyone got online that's a motivational person, I can think of like a content creator who, like you were saying, like gets up at 5 a.m., does all the things. If they got online and like showed their morning routine of them just like sleeping in, scrolling, like I don't think people would watch, because that's what everyone does. You know, that's what the majority do. So it is unfortunate that the algorithms in the world doesn't really reward you for being honest. But I think that's a really great point and a good reminder that what you see online, you have to take with a grain of salt, because you don't know what these people's actual routines look like. And for you, being the person that's going to be honest, that works for you. And that's something that you, like you said, you feel called to do. And yeah, I think that's what we're doing here. We're reminding you guys that it's okay to have those moments where you're failing forward and you're not following through with what you said you're going to do. But that's just, hopefully you can see that it's part of the process. And hopefully now we can make some better goals and set some intentions for how we're going to move forward in 2025 and do things the way that we know we can achieve, and so that we can build that confidence and be the people that we want to be.
100%. I loved this episode. This was really good and healing. I feel good about what we've discussed. And now I think it's just time that we can announce our new upcoming series.
Yes. Oh, we're so excited, guys. The last 2 years have been fully an 8 Dimensions of Wellness series to kick off the new year, talk about all the things that make you a whole well person. And it being the third year, we wanted to kind of switch it up. We love that being the base and the basis of each kind of new year, new me energy series, but with a little twist. With all that being said, we are doing a new series incorporating those same elements called How to Thrive in 2025. It's going to be an upcoming wellness series that, again, captures that new year's energy, but captures the 8 Dimensions of Wellness elements with a few other episodes intertwined in there. We're imagining it's going to go through March, so maybe the first 3 months of this year, doing different deep dives on different wellness topics. And we're so excited to show you guys how we're going to thrive in 2025, how you can thrive with us. Some of the topics we're going to do: mindset reset, financial glow up, emotional balance, things like that. So again, incorporating all those dimensions that we know and love, but giving a fresh spin on it.
And I think you hit the nail on the head by saying we're going to do it along with you guys. Like, we would be doing this in our own lives without the podcast. Like, over the next coming weeks, where do we want to guide our 2025? And so we're going to be in it with you and kind of almost workbooking the next like couple of months to make it the best year we've had. And we hope that our topics and stories and data and all of those things resonate with you guys. And if you haven't listened to the last 2 years of the 8 Dimensions of Wellness before that series comes out, highly recommend listening to any of those episodes to be a little bit more familiar with the 8 dimensions as a base for this upcoming series as well.
Absolutely.
And if you guys enjoyed hanging out with us today, we have another episode of ours from the archives that we think you'd really enjoy as well. We will link it in the show notes. It's called Accountability and Discipline, the Duo for Success in 2024, which is also relevant, of course, for 2025.
Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please give a rating and review. That helps us so, so much. Share it with a friend. We are so appreciative of you guys, and we're so excited to thrive with you guys in 2025.
Woo! Okay, see you on Wednesday.
Bye. Bye.